Hello, everyone, and welcome to part two of my Q&A episodes. This is going to be the final one for now, but definitely let me know what you guys think about this style of episode in the comments. I'm super curious to hear if this is something you guys enjoy. As mentioned last time, I definitely do Q&A style stuff over on my Instagram stories, but I figured this would be really fun to kind of create in long form so we can have a nice conversational piece around all of these various topics. So last week we talked about template, we talked about budgeting, we talked about spending, saving, and investing. And I feel like that episode was really fun. But now we're going to switch gears a little bit and we're going to talk about entrepreneurship, social media, and we're also going to talk about some personal stuff. You guys have so many personal questions. I love it. You guys are so nosy and I totally get it because I'm always the nosy one too when it comes to anyone in life. So I will try my very best to be as open and transparent as possible when I answer all of your questions. So get yourself a nice cup of tea, a glass of water, whatever it is that you're doing or up to. And we're going to go through all of this stuff and have a nice conversation together. I definitely like to make these episodes, you know, snappy, especially when they're solo episodes, because you're literally just listening to me talk. So I do like to make them relatively snappy, full of information. And so I can give you guys a ton of value just in, you know, 20, 30 minute episodes. So, or even 10 sometimes, depends on how chatty I am. But let's dig into it. And the first segment is going to be entrepreneurship. So the first question is advice for starting a side hustle. I've definitely had my fair share of side hustles throughout my 20s. I had social media clients. I started a candle business. That was a wild ride. But hey, at least I now know how to make candles, which is really cool. But I definitely have my fair share of advice here, especially when I started posting on social media and this also became a business, which wasn't necessarily what I wanted it to be initially. But what I will say is, definitely do something that you actually like doing. Whether you're creating content or whether you're starting a business that is a physical product or whatnot, it has to be something that you actually enjoy doing. Because initially in the beginning, you might not make money, right? And it might not be for that reason either. I would also say that if you're starting a side hustle, you might not want to do it just solely for the money. I feel like there has to be some like passion behind it too, and something that you're just like really curious and excited about, because that's what's going to keep you going. Because when it comes to all of this stuff and to be successful, consistency is going to be key, and you're going to burn out really quick if it's something that you don't necessarily care about. You're going to put so much effort into making these products or talking about things online. And if you just don't really care, you're going to get over it really quickly. I have a couple of questions regarding if I'm incorporated, am I still sole proprietor? How do I reduce my taxes? So I'll kind of answer that all in one go. I'm still sole proprietor, and there's a few reasons why. The first reason is because my fiance left his 9-to-5 job. So he is also kind of working in the creative field, but you know, for him, it's very much like inconsistent work. So having that extra income is actually really nice for us. And then secondly, we are planning on buying a home, maybe in 2026, we'll see how it goes. But with that, it's really not going to make a difference if I'm incorporated or not, because I'm going to have to take that money out anyways towards a dime payment, especially living in Vancouver. It's going to be a big one. So currently not incorporated. And those are a couple of reasons. The next question is, how big of an emergency fund should I have before quitting? For me, my comfort blanket was 6 months of an emergency fund. I wanted to make sure that I was going to be okay for half a year in case shit went crazy and I wasn't making any money. So that was my comfort blanket. Some people it's 3 months, some people it's 12 months worth of expenses. But I would say at least 3 months of your expenses, have that saved up in emergency fund for sure. Because you definitely want to give yourself a chance. And if you don't make enough money right away, you're going to be okay. So yeah, I would definitely say at least 3 months. Someone else asks when to know that you're ready for the switch to entrepreneurship. This is a hard question to answer because honestly, there's like not that one moment where you're like, I'm ready. For me, I was in a very interesting work environment and I was just not happy at all. So I feel like that even motivated me more to like make this thing a thing. But for me, it was more financially if I was ready or not. So one was having that emergency fund, but then also the fact that I saw consistent sales for at least half a year. That's when I was like, okay, I'm ready to take the leap of faith. I think you need to have a couple of those things, because when you have things set up financially, I think it's just going to make your life a lot easier when it comes to like big decisions like that. I have a question regarding saving for taxes. What does this look like? So whether that be income tax and sales tax. So obviously if you live in Canada, you have to collect all the sales tax. We have GST, PST, HST. Thank God for my accountant. She organizes all of that stuff for me, but I do set aside, you know, each month I just save a portion of my income and I set that aside in a high interest savings account. Same for my sales tax. Just put it away, pretend that it doesn't even exist. I hope when it comes to tax season, I don't have to pay it all back. I'm definitely conservative when it comes to saving for taxes because I'm just like paranoid and I'd rather save more and then, you know, I don't have to spend as much. So my biggest tip here, guys, is just make sure you're saving for taxes. Do not spend your gross income. You're going to regret it. Someone asked me, how do I get the courage to work for myself full time? This kind of goes back to like, you know, at least having that financial cushion to go full time. And I think that when it comes to the courage and confidence and all that stuff, it comes with time. It is scary. Like it is terrifying to quit your full-time job. I'm not going to lie. I was really nervous. And I think that it also like, it kept me like every single month I was like, oh my God, am I going to make enough money this month? Oh my God, what if everything ends? I don't have that much anymore. I have more confidence in myself and my business, but just know that there's going to be that transition period where you're going to feel really uncomfortable and you have to be able to kind of work through that for sure, because it's not going to be easy. Next question is, what was my first business? And I think I'm trying to think back of like the various things that I used to do, but I think it was my social media clients. I had a couple clients where I did social media management and just strategy overall. So I would say that that was probably my first business. And it just made a lot of sense for me because I was in the social media space and I was trying to, you know, get myself a bigger title in like corporate. So by me kind of adding to my portfolio and adding my work, it just made a lot of sense to have my own freelance clients. So that was the first thing that I did. Someone asked me, what's my most profitable business to date? And that is definitely my current business. I have never made this much money in my life, not corporately and not self-employed. But yeah, this is definitely my most profitable business. And I think the key piece here is having multiple streams of income. That is definitely a huge portion of it. You know, I have my budgeting templates, which is just passive income every single day. I have budgeting calls. I do custom budgets. I have sponsorships. Sometimes I do some UGC work and things like that. But that is definitely like the key thing when it comes to profitability, is that you have many different sources of income. And I also have very little business expenses. You know, like I don't have a team. I don't have anyone hired yet. But that is like the nice part, is that I just don't have a ton of expenses. So it's very easy to be profitable if you're making a good amount of money. So let's switch gears a little bit and chat social media. That is going to be the next segment. I had a ton of questions in here and I tried to kind of pick the top asked questions. So the very first one is, how long did it take to grow on social media? So I started posting on TikTok in May of 2022. I was posting on the platform for over a year. And that's when I was like, wait, why am I not cross posting to Instagram? This makes no sense. So that's when I started cross posting to Instagram. So that was, I think, in the summer of 2023 is when I started my Instagram account. So, you know, it's been, where are we at? Like 2.5 years? Yeah. So about 2.5 years for me to grow. Currently, as we speak, I think I'm at like 125,000 on TikTok and just shy of 50 on Instagram. So it's been a very interesting ride. Like some months I grow like crazy, some months there's no growth and nothing's happening. And I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, it's interesting to see how it is. But yeah, that's about 2.5 years. Another question is, are earnings in social media sustainable in the long run? This is a great question, and I think it completely depends who you are in the online space. I think when it comes to, you know, your fashion, lifestyle creators and things like that, if they're solely relying on sponsorships, I think it's very hard to sustain in the long run. But a lot of these creators have their own businesses. They have their own ways to make money as well. And I think that is the key piece, is when you implement your own business into it, that's when it can become sustainable, because you're really creating a business, right? So that would be like my biggest tip and advice, that if you are tapping into the social media space, is thinking about how can you actually incorporate and introduce your own products to sell, because that will make things definitely sustainable in the long run. Someone asked me what made me want to start sharing. And this is a great question, because I'm like, why did I start talking so transparently online about money? What was that thing? I don't know. long story short, I don't know. But the biggest thing, I would say I was, you know, working my job in social media marketing, didn't really love it. I felt disconnected. I didn't feel creatively challenged, or even just in other ways, didn't really enjoy my time. So I was like, okay, well, I need to do something that I enjoy. So then I started thinking about like, okay, what are things that I really enjoy talking about? What are things I'm passionate about? And I'm like, well, I like my spreadsheet. I like talking about money. So I just started talking about money. And something I found very quickly when I first started posting on TikTok was that transparency, people enjoy. People like seeing real people talk about real things. And I think that that's the biggest thing, is the relatability aspect, the authenticity aspect is huge. And once I realized that that is what performs well, it is what builds a community, the more I started to become open about my finances. And now it's just unreal, because people feel so comfortable talking about money and people feel comfortable opening up about it. And I think it's so cool to see the impact that, you know, little me has created. Obviously, there's so many other incredible content creators, financial content creators out there as well that are doing the work as well. But it is just so nice to see that it's becoming like a more widely accepted topic to talk about out loud. So yeah, I'm excited to continue on with this journey. Another question is, if I imagined I would get to where I'm at now. No. Like, I remember, you know, back in the day when I'm like looking at other creators or people who have their businesses and they're making all this money. I'm just going to kind of chat about the financial aspect of it, because I think that that is the biggest impact that it's really had on my life. Like, just being able to quit my job and just having this wild shift. But I knew I wanted that and I thought it would be possible, but did I actually think that that would happen to me, where people would look up to me and ask me questions about how I did it? No. Like, it's such a weird thing when you're there, but I'm so grateful. I have so much pride in the work that I do. I feel very passionate about it. I love that I'm helping people. Like, it's awesome. And the fact that I can also make money doing this, it feels really good. And I'm not taking advantage of anyone. I'm not trying to sell some crazy course. I'm really just trying to create a safe place and space for people to talk about money, be better with money and all that stuff. So that's my long answer to this question. Someone asked tips for digital creators when it comes to taxes. And I talked about this a little bit in entrepreneurship already, but that is, do not spend your gross income and save for your taxes every single month. Don't be tempted to spend it all. It sucks seeing that money come out of your account and go into a savings account for taxes, but they're necessary. We have to pay for them. Hopefully you don't have to pay all of it back, but prepare yourself. Please save. Hire an accountant. Oh my God. Life-changing. That's going to help a lot, especially when it comes to sales tax and all the other intricacies when it comes to taxes and tax laws, because I don't know that stuff. So it's really nice to be able to have someone to ask a question when it comes to all this. Someone asks me, how do I manage my social media tools that I use? So I've definitely played around with a few different things while I've started and, you know, throughout my journey here in the online space. And I think also, you know, I worked in marketing and I did my stuff in the social media space. So I'm familiar with a lot of different platforms and products. My key things is I use StanStore. That is like my bread and butter. It is the link that you see in my bio. It is where I host and I have all of my products. They make calendar scheduling so easy for people to, you know, when they're purchasing a one-on-one call and things like that. They also recently added in a new feature, which is like an auto reply to comments, which I really enjoy. Previously, I was using ManyChat. That's pretty expensive though. So I'm very excited that StanStore has integrated this feature into their platform. So essentially, like, you put in a keyword. So for me, it's budget and template. So anytime anyone comments budget or template, it automatically sends them a DM with the link. So this is really great for converting sales. So that is one of the key platforms and tools that I use. For video editing, I use CapCut. I edit on my iPad. I was literally using my iPhone up until like a couple of months ago. So iPad is new to me. Previously, I have used Adobe Pro. I used to use that for work. I just don't like editing that much. So I find that, I don't know, like a switch of a screen kind of helps me creatively. So I like to edit on my iPad. Besides that, I don't really use many other tools. I have my spreadsheets, obviously, to keep track of all the various analytics. I use Canva from time to time. I also use QuickBooks when it comes to accounting purposes. But besides that, you guys, I'm pretty basic when it comes to this. I probably should manage myself a little bit better. Maybe that's a 2025 thing. But yeah, I don't use too many things. StanStore is definitely my bread and butter when it comes to tools for my business. And then secondly, CapCut for video editing. Okay, so the final segment is going to be personal questions. So you guys had a ton of them. I kind of categorize them and tried to, you know, take the top questions, and I'm going to answer them for you guys. So let's get into it. So the first question that I have is, how has my mindset changed around money? This is a hard question to answer. My mindset around money is, once you start making X amount of dollars in the online space, I feel like you start understanding the potential of what is possible. I feel like before, I felt like I was in such a box when it came to money. Like, I was looking for the next salary bump. I was looking for the next career move to make X amount of dollars. But when you're tapped into this like online world where there's an untapped income, I feel like I just got exposed to like higher potential. I'm just like, oh wow, I actually can make this much more. And I never thought that before. So that is very encouraging and motivating to me. Like, I'm very money driven for sure. But that is like the biggest thing, is just like the possibility aspect of it, I think, has definitely changed a lot for me when it comes to my mindset around money. The next question is, how much does having a pet cost? This is so variable because it really depends on your dog. It depends on its health. It depends on all of the things that come with having a dog. I will say, in the first year, if you get your dog as a puppy, it is going to be an expensive first year. You've got all your neutering, any other surgeries. You've got all your vet visits for all of the shots. I think we easily spent like $4,000-$5,000 in the first year on like all of the things. Very, very expensive. I will say now though, Frederick costs about, I would say $1,500 maybe ish per year, $1,500 to $2,000 a year. And I just split this cost with Andrew. So, you know, definitely much more manageable and something that I don't necessarily see that often. And I don't really think about it too much, but we do have an emergency fund for him. So, you know, any unexpected vet visits, we take care of that through that. We also have accidental pet coverage. But yeah, like $1,500 to $2,000 bucks when they're like a grown adult, But then, of course, like, you know, as he gets older, there could be health complications and things like that. So it's definitely not a cheap thing. So you want to make sure that before you get a pet, you are financially responsible and you're set yourself before you get a dog, because you want to make sure that you can first take care of yourself and then secondly, a pet. I love this next question, and that is, how do you juggle two jobs when tackling debt and spending time with your partner? Oh my God. So a couple years ago, this is probably like, oh my God, four years ago? Yeah, 4 years ago, maybe. I was working a 9-to-5 marketing job. I was serving 2 times a week, and I was also working on my candle business. I don't know how I had time for all of that, but like, I mean, I lived with Andrew, so we did see each other like at home for dinners and things like that. But like, I don't know. I think you just have to be more intentional when you are that busy. I think that's the key piece, is just like, okay, if it's once or twice a week where you can really spend some time with each other at nighttime, then do that and have yourself a nice little date night at home. Make it super intentional. And also just be kind to each other, because especially if someone's working that much, one might be a little bit more irritable than the other. So be kind, but definitely worth the hustle, let me tell you. Someone asked me, where did I learn about personal finance? And so many people ask me this question because I don't have a finance degree or anything like that. Honestly, you guys, the internet is a magical place, I will say. That's where I've learned pretty much everything. Of course, I had my fiance, Andrew, who kind of taught me the basics. And that's why I got excited about, you know, money in the first place. But besides that, when it comes to the intricacies of like all of the different accounts, investing, saving and all that stuff, I mean, you guys, I go on deep dives all over the internet, whether that be Reddit, whether that be random articles, whether that be YouTube. I mean, you have to kind of seek out the information yourself. That's my biggest tip, is learn and search and figure it out. That's what I did. Someone asked me what my income goal is for 2025. I have not talked about this online, and it's so for me, this year, 2024 was crazy. I made over $200,000, which is wild. I'm very proud of myself. So I figured, I'm like, well, let's do another 100K, right? So my income goal for 2025 is $300,000, which I haven't said out loud to you guys before. So this is crazy, but yeah, it's $300,000. Someone asked me, where am I hoping to travel in 2025? We might be on vacation while this episode has launched, going to Mexico, which is going to be really fun. That's just like a nice quick trip, easy, nothing crazy. We'll definitely do like activities and stuff like that while we're there. We're not like, well, I'm a beach person. Andrew is not. So we'll definitely keep ourselves occupied. However, a big thing for us, we are getting married in September. So no, we're getting married in July. Oh my God, Kate, initially we were going to get married in September. So that's why I thought about it. We are getting married in July. So we will be doing a honeymoon at some point later on in the year. And I think it'll be a Europe trip. I think that's kind of what we decided on. But yeah, definitely stay tuned for that. But that's going to be like the biggest travel plan for 2025. And then I guess since we are talking about like honeymoon and things like that, someone did ask me about an update on the micro wedding. So as some of you guys may know, we went from, you know, 100+ person guest list to just over 30 people. We're going to be doing it in Whistler. I'm so excited. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be intimate. It's just going to be like one nice evening, long afternoon, whatever. Like, when do you start a wedding? Afternoon? I guess afternoon. Yeah. Afternoon into the evening. Dinner is going to be amazing. We're foodies. We love our food. So that's definitely going to be the core focus. Nice dinner party vibes is going to be the wedding. Updates, stay tuned on social. Nothing's kind of happening now because a lot of it's already been booked. That is the nice part about a micro wedding. There's so many like small things that you don't have to really think about. But yeah, definitely stay tuned on Instagram because I'll be posting about it on there later on. I have a couple of home ownership questions. Someone asked, where do you want to buy? What kind of home do you want to buy? And we moved to North Vancouver in September and we absolutely love it here. It's amazing. We want to have kids one day. We can definitely see us raising kids here. So honestly, I would love to buy in North Vancouver. We would love to buy in North Vancouver. So that's kind of the goal. In terms of what do we want to buy? A dream is definitely a single family home. Obviously, that means we have to make a lot of money, which, you know, we can do it. We can do it. I have faith in us that we can do it because it's going to have to be a fat down payment. We've always lived in condos and we're used to strata fees and things like that. But honestly, as a homeowner, damn, it's a huge turnoff for me. So I'd rather wait longer to buy something that we really, really want. Ideally, we have something where we can actually like rent out a basement suite or a laneway house or something. That would be amazing. But obviously, that's going to cost us a lot of money. But that is the ultimate goal. I figured I would wrap things up with this question, and that is, how do I handle finances with my fiance? So we have a system that has worked great for us since day one. We've been together for almost 6 years. We moved in together about almost a year into dating each other, and we've kind of done the same thing since. And honestly, it works wonders. So why change something that's not broken? So we have a me, him, and like an us system. So I have my own money, he has his own money, and then we have us. For the us stuff, we have a combined credit card. On that one, we put all of our grocery bills, household expenses, our dog Frederick expenses, and things like that, car, whatever. Everything gets slapped onto that card, and then we pay it off at the end of the month in half. This system works really great for us. However, I don't think this is right for everyone, especially if there is any type of credit card debt. And there also has to be a lot of trust between you and your partner in order to have a combined credit card. So definitely something to keep in mind. We also have a combined emergency fund. So that is for any vet visits and for any car expenses and things like that. It is really nice to have like a combined thing for like those household expenses that just cost a lot of money. So that's what we have. We put in $400 a month into that, and that usually just covers everything for the year. Besides this, I think the biggest thing is just rent. For us, we split this equitably. So we do this based on our income. So I make a lot more than he does. So I pay a larger portion of rent. I always suggest doing a equitable share when it comes to those large expenses like rent. So if someone makes a lot more money than the other person, they should pay a higher percentage of that rent to make things fair and reasonable towards like both income levels. And then finally, when it comes to just like ensuring that we're on track, we talk very openly about money, which is probably not shocking to a lot of you. But we do talk about money a lot. We talk about our goals, things that we want, how are we doing in terms of timelines and things like that. And we definitely like are super open and we have frequent conversations around this. So obviously for us, like next big thing is wedding. So, you know, we chat about that here and there and just making sure that everything's good to go. But besides that, like it's just having that open communication between us two. And that is something I definitely encourage you to have with your partner. I know it's hard, especially if you have, you know, a negative experience in the past when it comes to this stuff. But if you can be open and honest about finances, it's just going to make your life a lot better. It's going to make your relationship a lot better. Just having a nice, open and safe space to talk about all this stuff is huge. And when we get married, for a lot of people, I think that they combine everything. They combine checking accounts. They combine all this stuff. I don't know if we're going to do that, to be honest. Like we have our system that works really well for us. And I think that it's really nice to have like some financial independence in your own relationship. Like, you know, if I want to spend couple hundred bucks on like a new coat or something that I found secondhand, I don't have to be like, oh, hey, like I'm spending this amount of money from my checking. Like, I don't know. I don't like the idea. It's kind of nice to have like three buckets, if you will. So that's just personally what we're going to do. Obviously, I'll keep you guys posted if that changes. However, I will say with like investments and things like that, I think we'll eventually end up combining because it's just going to be more powerful in the long run. But yeah, that's kind of like a little bit of a tidbit of how I manage finances with my fiance. I really hope that you guys enjoyed this second part of the Q&A portion of my podcast. I really enjoyed answering your questions in a longer form. I hope that you guys enjoyed this as well. I think it was also good that I split this up into two because this is a lot. It's a lot at once, and I don't want you guys to like tune out because this too much information all at once. So maybe this was a good way to do it, I hope. But definitely back to regular programming in the next episode. But again, I hope you guys really enjoyed this. I sure did. It's really fun to answer all of the questions, and especially out loud like this. I really enjoyed this. But yeah, I hope you guys are having a fantastic start to 2025, and we'll chat with you guys in the next one. Bye.